Yep. Yep.
Welcome, y'all! That's right. This is a pregame engineer tailgate mirror racing podcast, episode number 131. It's Tuesday, January 30th, 2018. I'm tailgate mirror Rusty Wallace. I'm joining the PTM podcast studio with pregame engineer Andrew Sherwin. What's up, dude?
You know what? I've been sitting around thinking about how excited I am for this guest. I really think that despite the fact that we've had some really awesome NASCAR, like, journalism people, that I'm actually really excited about having someone who is just as passionate about doing a fan-based hobby cast, as we call it, or podcast, yep, about something that we love near and dear. As everybody can see, we're wearing our Atlanta Braves hats, and we are ready to talk some baseball.
Yeah, it'll be a little bit different today, but before we get to that, y'all know how we start this thing. This podcast, it's sponsored by you. You go to patreon.com/PETM, join the What You Drink Club for as little as $1 a month, get your free koozie and some stickers and stuff. Best part is, every cent in 2018, we're donating to sponsoring drivers. So join the PETM posse today and be a part of the sport you love. Sure, when we have 20 people that I got to read off now. Here
Good
goes
luck.
Nothing. This week's show is brought to you by our official sponsors at the $5 and up per month level. That's Catherine Kingston, Ashley Stang, Laura Henshaw, Harry Balzania, Mick Rose, Chad Sterling, Marion Levesque, Patrick Cleary, Jeff Brown, Brandon Crowd, Kathleen McDonald, Stacey Wright, Brandon Carl, and welcome to the PTM Posse, Mr. Billy Workman.
Hell yeah.
How about that? Dude, that was my first one breath take in a
that
long time.
That was pretty
time.
Good. You didn't even laugh.
You know,
you said Harry Balzania enough, I think you probably...
Yeah, when Harry Balzania comes about, that usually gets me.
That's our Hungarian contributor.
So, dude... The Patreon stuff. So we're chugging along. We're doing our thing. I'm still surprised it takes this long to do this. Like, if I were not me and an outsider, I might be a little bit upset at how long it's taking to make this stuff happen. But freaking things are moving. Today we got the official word that the money's there. Like, we actually, all that fake money that was like on Patreon, like, it exists now in real dollar. Dollar bill form.
No, it's
stuff.
Not Bitcoin anymore. It's right. Like, it's tangible.
it actually exists. $1,253 that the PETM Posse raised last year, and I think that includes January this year. I said, well, I might as well just throw it all in.
Sure.
There. So we just got to tie up the loose ends on who's getting that and sign the check over, and that be done. So really excited to do that. That's it's been a lot of fun to watch happen and see people get excited about it and send us messages. And so thank you to all the new folks. We'll get your stuff out to you very shortly. But, yeah, it's been really fun.
Yeah, so now we have to welcome in a very special guest, a guest who, like us, has a passion for talking on the internet radios.
Yeah, well, like you said at the beginning, this is I'll use two different terms. This guest is a little bit out of left field, pun intended.
Or
we're gonna do a little chicane on this show,
yeah,
pun
left
intended.
Left or right, it depends on which.
Yeah. So a little bit different tonight. So y'all stick with us. We're gonna have some fun for sure. But our guest is a podcaster. He talks Braves baseball on the Nakahoma Nation show at Nakahoma NTN. I take it he's a NASCAR fan by his shirt. And apparently, according to his Twitter profile, is blocked by Toby Keith.
I asked him about that.
You can find him on Twitter at Santonio Brown. Welcome, Mr. Josh Brown. What's happening, man?
I'm honored to be here.
same both ways. First, so,
oh, yeah, there's Dale Jr. double eights.
Yeah, he's got the 88. I love it. So, I mean, I can't intro you like that without hearing some sort of story about being blocked by Toby Keith.
Yeah, so so a few years
Is that the
ago,
best intro you've ever had?
Yeah, this starts in the ditch,
yeah,
by the way.
Here's
it starts
the guy,
right
here's
in the
guy.
Ditch.
So I'll just cut to the chase. Toby Keith is a hack. A few years ago,
I love
he
Toby
wrote a song.
Keith.
He wrote, you can YouTube this, man. He wrote a song called Bullets in a Gun.
I love that song. Don't tell me.
It sounds it's the same song as Robert Earl Keane's song, The Road Goes On Forever.
What? No, that song. Oh,
man.
I see that. Yeah, I see that. Man, Bullets in the Gun.
Every now and then, like somebody will, because think, you know, music is so, it's so derivative now. So every now and then somebody will kind of rip somebody else off a little bit, but this one's pretty blatant.
That's a bummer.
Is that
and
like
I,
comedy? Yeah. Well, that's kind of hard to write.
Bullets in the
joke,
Gun is
right?
Like on my workout list. That thing. That song.
You're going to get rusty into a dark place.
No, and as soon as you said the other song, I'm like, yep, I see that exactly. But I had never connected one. So let me guess. You made that opinion, not opinion, but that that factoid public.
Yeah, I might have written a blog post about it or something. And, I might have.
Josh,
I didn't like curse at him or anything. I just said, "Hey, Toby, why does this song sound so much like this song?" And he just blocked me.
Oh man!
Oh damn!
Every gun's on us, and every heartbeat.
So, one of the things I admire about what Josh does is there's several other people in the internet space that do this as well. Is he is very good at he'll put these videos up. That are opinion based, but they're kind of melded together in a sense that, like, I don't know how much editing you have to do, Josh, but they're cut in
not
like
a lot.
You do a monologue, but you close some gaps, obviously, and they're funny as hell. So this is why I thought this would be a good idea because I listen to your show pretty regularly, and there's a bunch of sarcasm. Almost cussed right off the top of the show.
There's a bunch of ditch art.
Yeah. There's a bunch of sarcasm, and like the people that were following us on Twitter while we were goofing off and promoting this thing tonight said some really funny things, and I've written some of those things down. We're going to cover them later, Lord. Or as they start to make sense to cover. I think there's one we definitely wanted to pull up because, I mean, obviously at some point we want to get into some science and you actually talking about Braves baseball and just and not us just goofing off, which I know. I mean, this could get tricky, but because we don't know squat. I mean, we have Braves fans who will have the Braves games on. I mean, 150 games a year. It'll be on the TV, but we're just doing something else.
I feel like 93 through 99 Braves. I'm as good as any other person out there.
Yeah, me and Sherwin suck at that time frame.
Me and Sherwin have talked, and we sound like we know what we're talking about. And as soon as you hit the new millennium,
college was
so it's gone.
2000 to 2007 is a
like
wasteland.
From 2002 to 05, there's a few years where I kind of lost the plot. I went off the reservation, man. Went to Oregon, maybe. Did some things I shouldn't have done that my mom wouldn't be proud about, and I didn't have TV. Like the other day, somebody tweeted at me, "Hey, do you remember? You remember when the Braves had so and so?" And honest to God, I'd never heard of this guy. I Googled this guy, and he clearly played for the Braves for like 2 or 3 years, and it was like from 02 to 04 or something. And that's why I was in Oregon, living in a yurt.
So living in a yurt,
doing things.
So did you fess up to it, or did you Wikipedia and like, oh yeah, I remember that guy. He had 3 home runs and 16 RBIs.
No.
That's
no, I quoted it. I quoted it and I said, look, from 2002 to 2005, I kind of lost the plot, went to Oregon, and the only sport I was into was motor boating.
That's a good sport to be into.
I like that. Well,
you and I were off the grid right about the same time. I spent 04, all of 04 and most of 05 on like a dude ranch in Western Michigan with no internet and a flip phone.
Yeah. So we're 9 minutes in. Obviously, we're all drinking.
Yeah.
But the folks have already demanded, what are we drinking? So, yeah. Mr. Josh, what you drinking tonight?
Well, I'm going a small batch beer tonight. It's probably a little bit above y'all's heads because you guys went to Georgia Tech. So I don't want to sound like a snob here, but I am drinking some Rolling Rock.
Rolling Rock, there it is.
Latrobe, Pennsylvania.
There it is.
Yeah,
number 33 because there are 33 words on the back of the label. I know all about Rolling Rock.
That corn brew,
corn,
right?
Yeah, the corn heavy grain wort.
Wow, you know way too much about Rolling Rock.
You know what's funny?
Easy beer to chug, I tell you what.
I think I've only had three Rolling Rock in my life, and that was when you brought a six-pack over one time.
Oh,
but
man.
So I remember going, this is different, interesting.
So God rest his soul, but the first mini beer tree that Marcus and I made was with Rolling Rock.
Oh, nice.
We built a, you know, like a
3 foot
high one.
Yeah, yeah.
In 110. That's
nice work.
In the cave in the old teak house at Georgia Tech.
So me and Sherwin are drinking. So here's the thing. I had said it over right after our Christmas show. And my parents got me for Christmas this rare beer club. And they send you two beers that, like, you can never get anywhere else and blah, 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 and all this stuff. So one of them this time is this. It's called Calicraft Reserve. Y'all look at this. It's a wine bottle. It's even got, like, the depression on the bottom.
Look what color this
stuff is. It's this, like, weird color. It's kind of, like, reddish, whatever. And it's there. It says on the back, it's a new type of beverage. Neither beer nor wine. It's a sparkling ale. California's of it, like, I don't. It feels like I got to put my pinky out, but it's just kind of funny for us to be drinking.
Oh, yeah, a little light in the loafers while we're drinking this one.
Yeah, but then at the end, they're like, break the rules. Calicraft Reserve is beer meets wine. I'm like, well.
Oh, and then you look at it, it's 10.5%, and you're like, well, this isn't exactly.
It's not a drinking beer.
This isn't child's play.
Yeah, yeah. This ain't.
And I've already blasted through it.
Yeah,
I'm
getting there
myself.
I'm
aware that I have blasted through it.
So that's what we're drinking tonight. Plus, you know, we previewed it on the last show.
There's all this other stuff.
Oh, there's all kinds of stuff. But, Sherwin, you brought this over, this number one.
Oh, yeah. We had Jefferson's on. What was the Kentucky reference we had? We had somebody. Oh, Booney.
Booney,
God
yeah.
bless Booney Ooh, West. Yeah. He passed, so we got the Jeffersons.
Yeah, yeah.
We got the Ron White, number one, tequila. And this is what, something that just caught my eye, because Total Wine just, I mean, they're good at advertising. It's a Jameson that's been aged in an IPA cask. And we love IPAs because we're, you know, were we hop heads? Is that what we're supposed to call ourselves?
I don't know.
Or just,
I mean,
craft
I
nerds.
I like beer.
I don't know.
Yeah. I like
we're
beer.
We're rednecks and like beer.
I like beer. I'll drink a
daggum
Miller Lite.
All right. The Braves tie in here is the Terrapin Galaxy, because Terrapin is the official craft beer of the Battery and the Atlanta Braves. I just opened one of those because, like, I need another open beverage over here.
Like you need a hold in your head.
Right? But that's what I've got.
Yeah. So, Mr. Josh, let's start with you. Tell us about your podcast. What's going on? How you got started with that? You told us in the kind of pre-show here and enjoyed that. So, keep going.
So, I do the podcast with Ken Hendricks. Ken is a redneck farmer, lives in Livonia, Georgia. He's a cattle farmer. Ken got a degree from Georgia. Sorry, tech guys.
That's all right.
Well, that happens sometimes.
I think it like
you know what? They teach agriculture, so we don't.
Okay.
Roll Tide.
But Ken went to school for Roll Tide. Ken went to school for speech writing, and then he ended up becoming like a preacher, and then he ended up becoming a farmer. And so I say that to say I think he's like the most amazing combination of a podcaster, because he's like he's got this like speech writing background, and he's like kind of a preacher, he's a farmer, he's just great at telling stories. So I do the podcast with him.
Isn't that a Randy Travis song?
Sounded like it.
Farmer and a preacher, hooker and a teacher.
He's got that classic. So where's he actually originally from? Because he's got to me what sounds like that classic Middle East Georgia accent.
Oh, I thought you were going to stop at Middle East. I was like, really?
No. He doesn't. He's never raced a camel.
What kind of podcast is this, guys?
I'm sorry.
Way down.
No, I think he's from there originally, like the Tocoa, Livonia area.
Okay, that
that
fits.
There originally, yeah.
That fits. 85 down to like the 75. They have a distinct sort of sound.
He's country. He's very country.
Yeah.
But yeah, when we do the podcast, we In the Braves podcast world, there are already a couple of podcasts already, but they were just podcasts. They would cover analytics and scouting reports and stuff. And I mean, they're great. I listen to them and everything, but they're not really a show. And so we wanted to make a show where we tell stories. We do funny segments. It's almost like I try to explain it to people. It's almost like if Cheech and Chong had a Braves podcast or something.
So you wanted to be the
totally
PTM
different
podcast of Braves podcast. I'm kidding.
Exactly.
I'm not appropriating your show. But no, that's exactly where we're at, too.
Nice. But yeah, it's fun. It's more than just a podcast. We do all kinds of different segments. But we do a lot of stuff on Twitter, like, you know, videos and stuff. And I just started doing the videos for fun one day, and it kind of took off. So I enjoy doing that. And the essence of it is we know baseball, we love baseball, but we don't take it too seriously, because I think a lot of people do, and they take the fun out of it. And it's just baseball. It should be fun.
Man, I think Sherwin already said it, but the parallels between what you're talking about and how we got started, and how, you know, there's all these analytical shows, and I guess Marty and McGee was the only kind of fun NASCAR show, but they're still, you know, employed by ESPN, the mothership, and all that. And so they have certain rules to abide by. And we were even talking in the pre-show, like or even just now about, you know, sponsoring drivers and stuff. Well, we got to make sure we don't, you know, poop on somebody's sponsor, other sponsor, but we poop on everybody. Right. So who knows? We probably have done it.
Yeah.
I like the parallel there.
Yeah. I think in learning to turn this show into both, something fun for us, something fun for people to listen to, a little bit of comedy, letting our inner comedian out, even though we're not, don't really aspire to be open micers or anything. But it took us, I want to say, probably 20 episodes to get to that point where what we're supposed to be doing here is goofing off, and then also teaching people a thing or two.
Well, and there's also talking on
the mic. That's awesome.
What's funny is you sit there and BS with your buddies, and what you don't realize when you're sitting there BSing with your buddies is that there might be 2 minutes in between you talking and nothing is said, and then you start talking again and everything else. So when you go up to the mic and you sit down and you start talking with each other, like, let's just talk like we always talk. And you do that, and suddenly there's like 30 seconds of silence, and you're both staring at each other going, what do we usually do right here? Well, usually we just sit here and drink beer, but I think people might not be excited about that. So
you have to just keep talking.
Getting used to talking on the mic has been interesting. And then in other areas of life, it is transcended, if you will.
Sure, sure. It's fun.
Yeah, so before we go too far into the Braves, let's do a little bit of NASCAR here, a little bit of racing. So you've got the 88 shirt on.
Oh, Lord.
I'm digging that. Dale Earnhardt and the Atlanta Braves shirt. When you posted a picture, go ahead and I don't know, give us some color around that.
Well, I mean, it's well documented that Dale Earnhardt was a big Braves fan.
Yeah, Bill Elliott.
And
do you know why?
So tell us. Why don't you tell us?
I think from what I understood, him and Ned Yost were really tight. Like, they were, like, super close friends.
That is correct.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So Dale had occasion to – it was, you know, around the time that Atlanta Motor Speedway was going to kick off their first race of the year, which used to be early March, you know, which was spring training time of year. So I don't know if they had the Braves over to Daytona or if the Richard Childress Racing went to the Braves or how that worked out. But Ned Yost and Dale Earnhardt really hit it off. And at a time when most people in upstate North Carolina were Yankees fans because that's all that was on TV, except for the fact that Ted Turner had come along and put the Braves on everybody's TV across
the entire
world.
Tell the folks
world.
Who Ned Yost is if they don't.
So Ned Yost was a bench. Ned Yost was a first base, third base, and then bench coach for the Braves, and eventually got hired by the Milwaukee Brewers as a head coach. That didn't work out so good. He went to Kansas City and won a World Series as a manager. So that's pretty damn cool.
Yeah, yeah. That's something that Andrew Kantian just said. Kantian, you got me.
It's been like
12 weeks since I messed that
months
up.
Months ago, I think.
But that Ned Yost wears number 3 because of Dale Earnhardt. That's pretty cool.
Yep. I mean, those two dudes were tight as hell.
Well, as much as you know, it's funny, as a Braves fan and as a NASCAR fan and never putting those two together, never knowing that, I always knew Ned Yost as a guy who's standing next to first base with number 3 on, you know, and I would have never connected that, which is so, and that's just really cool to have that tie-in.
So I don't know if this was Josh or if this was Ken, but there's a post just went into the YouTube about Dale Murphy also wearing number 3. I think that happens to be coincidental, but it is still cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think that who would have predated who there?
Well, Dale Murphy hit the scenes. Oh man, they came up same time.
That's what I'm saying. Who would
79?
Yeah,
79's right when both would have hit the mainstream.
There's some good trivia. I like that. And so let's go deeper, a little bit deeper into the NASCAR part, and then we'll get right back to not talking about what this podcast is all about. car number 31. It's episode number 131, car number 31. I got to get this one out of the way. Of course, Jeff Burton, 324 races, four wins. Newman. I didn't realize Newman only had one win in the 31.
Two. He's got one at Vegas and one at Phoenix.
According to this, according to what I read, he's only got one in the 31.
Oh, so he might have been Vegas win must have been in the 39 for Stuart Haas.
Yeah. So
okay. Yep.
Yeah. Right. Robbie Gordon.
Check and adjust.
Robbie Gordon, three wins in 118 races.
Yeah, Mike's road course and one at Loudon maybe. And...
You know, who was it we were just talking to that had some good Robbie Gordon stories? Me and you were talking to. We don't have to say it on the podcast if you don't remember.
Well, I tell you what, the good Robbie Gordon stories out there are by the driving or what Dinner with Racers guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Holy cow!
Yeah,
he's hilarious.
Yeah,
you know, I got more on that later. Remind me.
And I met Robbie Gordon's business partner in the that's who it was. I was just thinking about. I met his business partner at the in the Atlanta airport, and I sit down and I'm sitting there watching the race. And I kind of and it was like the Xfinity race, and I'm just sitting there and I'm watching it and I kind of react to something and he's like, "Oh, you a big race fan?" Yeah, I'm a big race fan. How about yourself? And I didn't realize this is Robbie Gordon's business partner, right? And he's like, "Yeah, I do. I like some racing." Like, you know, but that's what you know that's how you test the waters with each other, I guess.
Right?
You know? And then I go on to be like. You know, I'm like, I'm huge in racing. I host this podcast that's all about. He's like, oh, that's cute. You know, right. That's not how it went
There's
down.
Like
but
78 people that it listen. Was, it's
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, it was fun. But anyway, yeah, Robbie Gordon, Mike Skinner, 156 races, no wins. But we're gonna talk about Jim, and I don't know if it's Vandiver or if it's Vandiver.
Oh, you got to figure it's Vandiver.
I know,
that
right?
That would be the southern way to say
yeah.
it.
Or Vandiver. I don't know which
Vandiver.
One.
Vandiver, for sure.
Yeah.
Let's go with
59
that.
59 races, no wins. Born in 1939, 85 races in the number 31 from the 60s through the 80s. So he didn't really
kind of just farted around.
Yeah,
for
he just kind of farted around
decades.
For nearly three decades. No wins, 24 top tens, though. When he retired, he ran a used truck dealership. Listen to this, though. You know this story. I did not know... This was Jim Vandiver. But you remember the 1969, you don't remember, but the 1969
Have you heard of?
Talladega 500, he got second place to Richard Brickhouse. Now, this was the race.
Where, oh, the tire boycott.
No. Was that 69? I don't think it was, but this was the one where he was like, no, that dude was a lap down. Like, Brickhouse was a lap down. You're full of crap.
The scoring was
Yeah,
jacked.
And they because the dude had pitted, and Vandiver did not pit, and then he came back around, and dudes in front of him. But it,
I think that's all the same race. I think that's the reason why they had so much trouble with scoring is because all of the main cars went home, and like the 50 car field, like 49 of them were like substitutes, basically.
Yeah.
To speak.
We'll have to look up see if that was the same race because the boycott race and all that with the tires. And so Brickhouse was still made the winner of that event, but the second place of that legendary story was Jim Vandiver.
Interesting.
So the second story with him, and I'm
there's another one.
I got to almost read this one. I'll put my own color to it, but right off of Wikipedia, it was hilarious. 1973 Southern 500 in Darlington. Vandiver was supposed to get arrested for not showing up to divorce court for a child custody hearing. I mean, this is a stand-up fella, I guess. He had to figure out a way to not go to jail right after the race. Like, he didn't want the cops to just show up and arrest him, you know, as he's leaving pit lane, you know. This is the Southern 500 at Darlington, right? So, what he ends up doing is conspiring with somebody on the track to wreck him so that he could...
Go to the infield care center?
No. There wasn't such a thing back then. Nothing like that back then. So after he did that and brought his car back to the hauler, hitchhiked back to his own home in Monroe, North Carolina from Darlington, South Carolina, he sat down, had a cold beer, and waited on the cops to show up and arrest him. That is... Badass old school cool.
That is very funny. And I just saw something hilarious in the YouTube feed that must be mentioned. Clearly. Clearly. Babe Ruth wore number 3 because of Dale Earnhardt. Clearly. That's, I mean, that's for
duh.
Sure. Duh. 100%.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And in the third inning, everybody held up 3 fingers.
That's right. In 1927.
That's right. So, Jim Vandiver, he passed away in 2015. We'll do hats off and we'll do all drinks right, up. Yeah. Mr. Jim Vandiver, skirting the cops. No, we're good. Skirting the cops and, I don't know, doing his thing. And
it looked like a Bloody Mary, but it drank very differently.
Mm.
All right.
Anyway, all right. Well, right, continuing.
I mean, we have not even remotely gone back on the road yet. But
nope,
that's fine.
Nope. It's going to be like this tonight, y'all. I appreciate y'all being here, hanging out, and having fun. I hope y'all got a drink, too. Or
I'm enjoying chatting with your listeners.
Substance yeah. of choice. I'm glad.
They're you know, fun. They come on. They interact. They bring
on.
The they
Any
bring
way
the mustard.
You, like. You know what I like? I really like this question from Mick Rose. So the PETM Posse has sent us some questions, and we'll – we'll just jump into a few of them.
Yeah,
and
so that one,
chat,
did you see the one I told
from
you?
Andrew?
Yeah.
We'll go with that next.
Because we're going to poop on
somebody.
We'll see how it goes.
At GoDucks42 underscore Mick, I really liked this kind of crossover factoid, this trivia here.
Yep.
The most consecutively won World Series and Cup Championships is 5. So 5 in a row for both World Series and for Cup Championships. Will we ever see that happen again? What I want to say is, if we see that happen again, who's going to do it first? Josh, where are you at?
5 in a row?
5 in a row.
Lord.
Yankees versus Jimmy Johnson.
I mean, the Yankees or the Dodgers? I don't know. If it's ever going to happen again, I'm just going to say the Yankees. I'm sorry.
You don't have to be sorry.
No, I think it's far less likely in racing. There's just so many more variables.
So in racing, you know, they would have to change the format again.
again. That's a good
point. Because the playoffs in racing, I mean, we talked about it.
There's too much chance.
Yeah, there's too much chance, especially down to the wire, especially you have one race where you're knocked out by somebody. And in the current format, we're not going to see 5 in a row for sure. And that's just because of a whole different thing. What I think is unique about baseball, though, is that it's the same format it's been for 100 years. And so playing under those same rules, I think baseball, I would say, has a better chance of having somebody who
can stay good for like 10 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I would disagree a little bit.
Okay.
Well, you're not – I mean, you're not hard our feelings to disagree. That's what we're here to do is disagree.
Well, the thing about the format hasn't been the same. So pre-1966, the postseason was the World Series.
Right.
So it was the best team in the – you already know this. Best team in the AL plays the best team in the NL. So, it's just – I think there's a lot of different factors now. Maybe that makes it harder. I guess it makes it harder to do 5 in a row now because there's just so many. There's 2 wild cards. There's all this stuff. So it would just be harder, I think, to do.
Well, I think so for sure. If for whatever reason, however your team is trending, you end up backdooring your way into that one game playoff, but you have best pitcher in baseball.
Yeah,
you can win that game, and then maybe that catapults you to World Series. You just don't see that scenario playing out 5 years in a row. I mean, no, I don't think anybody ever thought that Jimmy Johnson could have won 5 straight championships. Especially since they were all in a playoff type atmosphere.
Well, and they changed rules 3 times. I believe he won under, was it 3 different rule systems?
He won when it was only 10 drivers. He won when it was only 12 drivers. And he's won when there was knockout rounds.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that. Jeez.
Like, what in the hell?
And if it were points, he'd have won on points too. You know?
Yeah. I mean, there was one in there Gordon would have won.
Yeah,
if they just straight points. But we've talked about this over and over and over, and I think the same thing applies to baseball, Josh, in that you play what the rule book suggests you ought to play. So that whole, let's figure out how many points they would have scored if we did the old system. Well, that's stupid because that's like saying I only have 1 game to win, so I'm going to pitch Medlin instead of – or however we do it. You know, like mm-hmm. you have the opportunity to pitch Scherzer, but you choose to pitch Strasburg. But it, you're playing the Braves, and you know the Braves always kill Strasburg.
I love mm-hmm. that, by the way.
So, like, I mean, there are variables at play that you can change based on what the rules are. Like, if it's, oh, this is only one game, well, then I got to pitch my guy right. that's the best guy against that team as long as he's not didn't pitch yesterday.
Who do you think in NASCAR yeah. could do that? Who do you think has the potential to win five in a row under this current format?
Jimmy is the only one that's proven that.
Really?
Jimmy under, and
under
Chad,
like this format, though.
Yeah. I don't think there's – I mean, we saw a downtrend in wins last year and a downtrend in performance, but it's pretty obvious across the board it's not Chad and Jimmy that started sucking. It's that Chevrolet was off.
Yeah, yeah. Because I'm thinking obviously it's recent news, but I mean, Truex certainly, if he can continue to win like he's doing, that's a possibility. I think this bodes well for the Kyle Busch type of thing, where it's just win or don't win, and the way that they value wins. He's got something to say about Kyle Busch. And by the way, Chase Elliott. I think this format
yes. he was there.
Could be a
he
Chase Elliott there. Thing. Yeah, absolutely.
He was present and accounted for,
mm-hmm.
despite mm-hmm. not winning a race.
Yep.
Is Chase Elliott everything? I think he's everything.
He's all of the things except for having won yet.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that's important. But other than that, he's got it.
He's so chill.
Yeah.
He doesn't even, and he's already, I mean, he's got it all figured out. I mean,
uh-huh.
when you get out of your car at Martinsville after getting turned by mm-hmm. the guy who basically lived in Martinsville, that's mm-hmm. his home track, and you wave your hands and they boo the guy, like, you're winning. Mm-hmm. You're winning. Whether you won the race or not, win.
Yeah.
Now, granted, Josh, I'll let it be known, we have basically never said anything nice about Denny Hamlin on this podcast. and that's probably why we don't have very many Denny Hamlin fans who listen to this podcast. And God bless him. He's a great race car driver. We just don't like him. And that's how it's going to be when you do a fan podcast. You know, you either like Nick Markakis or you don't. You either like hits or you don't.
The grief, man.
You know, I mean, sometimes it brings some derision into the equation.
Let's bring up the next question, which I think this one's right up Josh's alley here. So Andrew Kantzian at KHANTZIAN, after seeing the Yankees having so much success.
Oh, this is a shot, by the way. You got to keep this in mind. This is a shot at Braves fans.
Oh, well, no, I get it.
No, he wrote, I changed the wording of bring his it. Question to be less of a shot.
Oh, wow. After seeing the, what did he put before Yankees? Like five-time in a row Yankees having some, I don't know. No, after seeing the Yankees having so much success with a strong farm system.
Well, they haven't done jack diddly doo-doo since like 2004, right. So there's that.
Where do the Braves see their future in terms of building from within? So let's talk Braves. Let's do it, Josh. You're up.
I'm ready.
So they got Aaron Judge. That's about it.
Yeah, Aaron Judge. Come on. What is he going to hit, like 230, and he might hit some homers? Whatever.
He's going to strike out his batting average.
I agree.
What was the question? Where are the Braves as far as rebuilding?
To me, what was funny about that, I'm knocking all kinds of Rusty's wife's crap over here, but no, it's like, you know, Braves have like arguably – top three, top one, depending on who you talk right. to, farm system. So the question is, like, where are the Braves at in terms of developing from within?
When can we expect the Braves to get some
daggum
win?
I'm going to say, like, next Thursday. I'm next just kidding. No, 2 to 3 years out, really. I mean, they clearly have the number one farm system according to multiple different websites. You know, and I think a lot of Braves fans. Now, here's the thing: a lot of analytical Braves nerds get mad and frustrated and make fun of the, you know, the Braves fan who kind of keeps up with it a little bit and who's frustrated because the Braves suck and they're wondering where the good product on the field is. I get that. I'm kind of in the middle. I can empathize with those people that they got pissed because the Braves traded Gattis and Hayward and their favorite players and Kimbrel. I get all that because I think it's important to retain players because you know, as a fan, you love these guys and your favorite player is so-and-so and you buy their jersey and then it's like rent a team, you know, and then they're traded, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? So I get that. But I also think that they really do have the best farm system in baseball. And not only do they have the best farm system, but it's built around pitching. I mean, some of their pitching coming up in the minors right now, Mike Soroka and Colby Allard and even Kyle Wright, you know, and Luis Gohara, Max Fried, they don't have a ton of bats. They could probably have bats. But pitching is like the toughest thing to get, to grow, to buy. And so when you have a farm system built on pitching, it's a lot stronger, in my opinion, than if you had a farm system with a bunch of bats, and it's harder to get. And so, you know, I don't think they're going to be great this year. I've read a couple of really good articles from non-Braves writers, like national guys, who say that this year the Braves could surprise some folks and be, you know, kind of a wild card team. I don't know. They're not going to suck as bad as they did last year. It would be almost impossible. But I would really give them 2 to 3 years. And you know, I think a lot of fans are frustrated and tired of rebuilding. And I get it. Like a lot of my friends that are on our podcast with us and write and that are super smart, analytical guys, you know, they scoff at the people that are just frustrated. Well, I get it. You're a fan. You know, you don't want to suck forever, you know? And the Braves, they suck. and when you look at it, they've not been good. The last postseason series the Braves won, I think it was like 2000 or 2001. Wow. And that sounds crazy to say. That but it's does. True. The last guy to win a postseason game for the Braves was, I think, 2009 Mike Minor, I think.
Mike Minor.
So it's been, God, I think as Braves fans, I'll throw a little bit of shade to Georgia fans because you guys are Tech fans, but Georgia fans, every year they think they're awesome, but they're not, you know, with the exception of this past year, right? But if you talk to
they were good this year, fan, what can I say?
In any year since 81, you know, they're awesome. And Braves fans are kind of like that. We're used to, I guess from the 90s, we're just used to being really, really good. But they're not. They suck.
Yeah. Well, I'll draw a parallel here. So
I think they're going to be better.
The Hawks suck too.
Well, so for me, it's like just with the reach that the Braves have. Braves, we've talked about it before, are one of the superstation teams. You know, there's two of them, right? There's the Braves, there's the Cubs.
Yep.
And so you find all these fans in Birmingham, in Cincinnati even, Southeast.
Alabama,
all of Florida.
Tennessee, South Carolina all made sense. It's the ones in Montana and Utah.
Exactly. And so you have these fans, and therefore, in a way, you have these eyeballs, you have this money coming from everywhere else, and you almost expect that, hey, just get us to the playoffs, man. Let's get to the playoffs somehow, as a wild card or as a number one team, whatever it is. Get to the playoffs. We should do that. We've said this, Sherwin. I'll draw a parallel to Georgia Tech basketball in that, look, we're an ACC team, which is supposed to be a powerhouse in basketball. We're in Atlanta, which is one of the biggest recruiting areas in, I would say, the eastern half of the country.
For basketball players.
For basketball players. And we still – just get us to the dance at least. You know, we should be making NCAA every year. Like, even when Duke sucks, they're going to make the NCAA, you know. So it feels like even when the Braves suck, we should be like a wild card or one-game play-in or something, you know.
I agree. I don't have anything else to add.
So there you go. I guess we can continue on with it here. We'll take a little detour here instead of a baseball question. NASCAR nerd @_NASCAR nerd says, what's the worst thing that you've seen on the internet that still made you laugh out loud?
Man, I thought about this all day.
Oh, I know my exact answer and y'all aren't going to like it.
Yeah. So I know what mine is.
And
I've sent a GIF out recently. So this may not shock anybody that's paying attention to the old tweeter, but I think the worst thing I've ever seen on the internet that caused me to, like, ribs, hurt, like, abs hurting.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, painful laughter was Shovel Girl.
Oh, God. Yeah.
And
yeah.
if you haven't seen this,
yes,
just that, Google it or you, whatever.
Right, like, right. No, it's not like, it's not safe for work or anything.
Yeah, there's no, I mean, everybody's clothed.
Yeah, everybody's clothed. There's no fluids or nothing. It's hilarious.
Like, there's a whole
two white lot trash girls trash in a talking, fight white and trash, a shovel.
White trash girls talking smack to each other, and one of them grabs a shovel, and the other's like, "What are you going to do with that?" And then, like, she takes off running, and she gets smoked in the back of the head with a shovel.
That's fantastic.
Oh, so, my God.
Right? Yeah, you got to see this, dude. It's hilarious.
Oh, it's the funniest
thing. There's noise. It is the perfect sound. It is exactly what you would expect a shovel to sound like if it hits the back of a human head.
So if you're with me, or if you're hanging out with me in person, you probably think Rusty's a pretty quiet guy. If you're listening on the radio show, you probably think Rusty's a freaking talker and blah blah blah, talk your ears off kind of thing. But in person, I'm kind of more of the, I won't say shy, but I just sort of listen a lot and I'll throw my little words in here and there. And if you put me in a big crowd, you're not even going to notice me. I'm not like the life of the party kind of guy. And maybe that's why I enjoy doing this thing, because I get to, you know, do this. But it's those quiet ones you got to worry about, right? So, like,
yeah.
Well, I've got a Carlin bit about that.
I've seen some effed up stuff on the internet and laughed my butt off because I'm a sick person, I guess. So
I think I knew you were going with this. I still think I
had heard about this. I had read about it. I had heard people talk about it.
I think you showed me this.
When there was a video about two girls and a thing that they did with a drinking device. One cup.
I knew this was what you were gonna say.
I laughed my butt off. I was laughing so hard
until I understood what was actually happening.
I thought it was the funniest thing I had seen in my life. I was laughing so hard I had to pause it.
On your desktop.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm like, show it, Sharon. You got to see this. And he's like, dude, no, that's messed up. I'm like, no, keep watching. He's like, this is more messed up. What are you doing?
I was mortified.
Oh, man.
I didn't understand what was at play. That was 2006.
Something like that. I'm messed up in the head, y'all. I get it.
And we saw, the things that we saw in 2001 and 2002.
Oh, back on my college humor.
We can't describe, like, it's not.
Consumption and that stuff, yeah.
Remember E-Bomb's World?
E-Bomb's World, yeah, yes. All that stuff. Yeah.
Yes.
They don't know about E-Bomb's World.
none of our listeners want to know about that place if they hadn't already been there. I promise.
So I don't know where it is.
Somebody posted something in the Twitter and the YouTube feed here about somebody effing a goat. What?
Oh, Lord have mercy!
I'm like, take it easy,
I'm not
man.
Sure. I'm not sure I'd
let's
be
ease,
there.
Let's
yeah.
ease off on
yeah,
that.
I'm not sure I'd probably be.
That's like a felony.
You know, here's the thing: you feel bad for the goat. Like, there's. Neither one of those two girls were. They seemed to have fun.
Well, when you think about a goat, everything you know about a goat,
yeah,
like,
I mean, the goat's
a
human not a party
is,
to this.
Maybe they're considerably larger than a goat.
Maybe they're digging it. I don't know. All right, all Josh. Right.
Well,
worst thing.
We didn't just find the ditch. We bounced
the
off
worst
the guardrail,
thing?
Rocked over it, and hit a telephone pole.
If I had a while to think about this, I could probably come up with a better answer, because I'm sure there's some terrible things I've seen throughout the years. But as of late, and I think I was late to the party. I think I saw this recently, and my wife was like, I saw this like 2 years ago. But it wasn't sick. It was more scary and sad, and it was traumatizing for me. But it was
that's not funny.
Have y'all seen Planet Life 2?
No.
Or is it called the Planet Life?
Planet Earth?
Planet Earth. Planet Earth 2.
Okay.
On Netflix.
Well, hold on. We got an audience over there.
Planet Earth 2, there's a scene where these baby iguanas, they hatch their eggs on the beach of this island. And they literally get out of their eggs and they come up out of the sand. And hundreds of snakes basically try to kill them.
Before I've seen that.
When they're born.
It is ridiculous.
Have y'all seen that? It's crazy.
The snake can run faster than a damn cheetah at that, wherever that place is.
Good Lord.
It's retarded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're not supposed to say that word.
It can run, but it ain't got legs. That's a devil.
Yeah, it's a devil. Bill Engvall.
Yeah.
God rest his. No, he's still alive.
He's very alive. So that one kind of like made you giggle out of that. Well, you're like, well, I shouldn't be laughing at this,
well,
but I am.
Well, remember the one, it hit the list. Like, so we used to have the college list, right, where all the guys emailed the list and we post the most terrible crap that you could possibly post. And it was like, I mean, just an over-dramatic, like, movie trailer kind of slow-mo some and then fast some of, like, this this lizard, like, escaping the snakes. And it was like, what in the hell is happening here? Like, there's 18 billion snakes, and there's one lizard. Mm-hmm. And, like, there are so many things that happen along the way. Like, people tripping and bouncing off rocks and stuff, and somehow he gets away. And it's like, it was like the survival rate of that lizard was probably less than an infantry soldier at Normandy, like the percentage.
Is that okay to joke about? Are we like...
Well, it was 70 years ago. Hats off to the Greatest Generation.
There it is.
But I mean, still.
We're just talking numbers, statistics. Let's get out of the ditch, unlikely. Sherwin, why don't you read this one from Doc Herbert? You've got it. At Braves All right. Herbert.
So this is one of the ones that really made me laugh.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, I like this.
Oh, well, no, this one. Oh, no, this is not the funny one. This is just the, I'm sure this is going to get Josh fired up one.
Yep.
Why is Ronald Acuna ranked ahead of Tyler Nizloni in the prospect rankings?
I have no idea. it makes no sense to me. Why? I have no idea. No,
so I looked at...
Doc's making fun.
Yeah, I looked at
Doc's
stats.
Making fun of me because... so everybody's got their dark horse, okay? And mine might be Tyler Nizloni. It's a common theme of my life with sports. I can't explain it, man. When I was a kid, you know, John Stockton hung the moon, and I loved Jeff Blauzer.
Oh, my gosh.
And Matt Dyer is like my favorite Brave ever. So it's a theme. It's a theme. I like the underdogs. But Tyler Nizloni is going to shock the world. And when he does, me and Tyler will be laughing while Doc Herbert will be tweeting from his mama's basement.
Well, MLB.com didn't even have a position for this guy that I could find.
That's because he transcends positions.
He's a nine-tool player.
Lord. Yeah.
He could pitch, catch.
Right. So he's all that first baseman that you bring in like the 12th inning to pitch?
Yes, that's the guy that, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So
he can do anything.
That's funny to me. That's like if we could make a NASCAR analogy, this is like, why is Allmendinger rated below Joey Logano? It's like, well, hey, man.
He's wide but not deep? Is that like there's a lot of disciplines but not?
He's older and not nearly as good?
Sherwin, take the next question, too, from Freddie.
We got one from Freddie's Gatto. At Freddy's Gatto, there's no punctuation in there. This was the one that really I busted a gut because I haven't listened to your show and understand the sarcasm involved. Do the Braves need more power in their outfield? And by power, I mean when the outfielders take their turn at the plate, they hit the ball over the fence, whereby resulting in runs. In 2018, as in 2017, and I added in all previous seasons,
as it turns out,
the team with the most runs wins the game.
Is this not like? Is this John Madden asking this question? Yeah.
Pretty sure.
The team with the most runs.
No, this is like
going to win.
Caparillo being or no Caliendo being John Madden.
Yeah, yeah.
Creating a baseball question.
Oh, there it is. Power from the outfield. Where are you?
Yes.
At?
Are you aware that if you hit the ball over the fence, it results in a run?
Or more.
At least one.
So to kind of explain that question, to put it in perspective for your listeners, I don't know if there's fans like this in NASCAR, but in baseball there are these, like, there's like saber nerds, and then there's like another league, like above saber nerds, like analytical freaking
crap.
I don't even know what they are.
I'm a
like
saber nerd,
who,
so
like, just
I feel bad.
Spreadsheets.
Is it okay to be a saber nerd?
Yeah, and they come up with like, yeah, I mean, it's totally cool. Like, I'm a saber nerd.
Okay,
and right. I love advanced metrics, but there's people that just like
they go
they live and die by these advanced stats like weighted runs created plus that takes into account park factors and just all this
whether
stuff.
Or not Venus is in phase or out of phase and the yeah, moon is
summer
within
or spring solstice.
Yeah, and they scoff at. It's weird. Like, I think baseball has some. I think it's because numbers coupled with history, baseball has attracted a certain type of person, like these really smart analytical people, which is really cool. But at the end of the day, baseball's not that hard, and we kind of poke fun at that.
Hit ball, run fast.
And
hit ball, run.
Yeah,
fast.
I mean you're hitting the baseball where guys aren't. At and
where guys aren't.
Yeah, and the team with the most runs wins the game, and so we kind of poke fun at that a little bit. That explains that question.
That was so John Madden. I love it. I love it to death. So at the end of the day, the team that scores the most points is going to win the football game. All right, I appreciate you telling me that. We didn't know how this worked.
Bringing a lot to the table.
I'm not dumbing it down to where it's yeah, but it's really not that difficult. It's baseball, you know. There's all these advanced stats with pitchers now. You know, it's like we've had very formidable stats for 100 years. You know, strikeouts, ERA. Like you're not a good pitcher doesn't give up a lot of runs. It's that simple.
Yeah.
So, and I know you being a Braves fan and a Braves podcaster and a Sabermetrics fan and whatever, like you're obviously dialed into the data. I saw like the greatest Greg Maddux stat that's like ever been told. I could have gone and looked it up and quoted it exactly.
He pissed in 47 people's shoes.
He pissed in everybody's shoes. He put his penis on Chipper Jones.
Oh, God.
But or peed on his leg or whatever he did. He did some weird
those are
stuff.
Two different things. Anyway,
yeah, those are different things. Right?
The shower.
But it was like Greg Maddux faced 30,000 batters in his career, and only 177 went to a 3-ball count, and like 90 of those were intentional walks.
Wow, Jesus.
Like it's ridiculous it's what insane. That stat is.
Wow,
it's crazy.
That's one of those numbers that can't be true.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. I don't know.
He just did not get to 3-ball counts.
We got spoiled.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
no.
We did get
spoiled.
We got spoiled
watching this guy.
Arguably the greatest free agent acquisition in the history of baseball.
So, last question from the PETM posse. Alex, goodness.
This is our new GM, Alex bud. Anthopoulos.
Oh, Anthopoulos is drinking bud. At Dan Keats. So this one hits close to home for me, quite literally. Hey, Josh, do you remember that time I left you on the side of Buford Highway? So obviously somebody you know who left you on the side of Buford Highway. Here's the funny part.
Less than a half mile walk from Buford Highway.
I was going to say, if I were to take off running right now as my fat self, as fast as I could, I will reach Buford Highway itself within 1.5 minutes. No doubt.
Yeah.
In 90 seconds, I'll reach it. So that's where we are.
And if you run for 3 more minutes, you'll be at the Pink Pony.
True. True. Well, I can't run all the way there. There's some hills and stuff. Like yeah, I
there
can't
is
do that.
Terrain.
I will barf on the way to Pink Pony, but you know that's the thing. So we got to hear that story, Josh. Go for it.
Well, here's the story. Dan Keats operates under anonymity on the interwebs. He says he's my dad, and I halfway believe him. Like he might actually be my dad. My dad's name is not Dan Keats, but the way this Dan Keats tweets and the things he says are things that my dad would say and tweet, and it freaks me out. And so people ask me, is Dan Keats your dad? And I don't know.
That's very funny.
I love it. So your dad left you on the side.
He knows things only your dad should know.
You know, it's weird. It's he popped up on Twitter like back in the summertime, and I was like one of the first people he followed. And then just the way he talks, he says Bubba a lot, and it's weird. So I don't know. I don't know if he's my dad or not. I asked my dad, who's my actual dad, "Hey, are you Dan Keats?" And he's like, "I have no idea what you're talking about."
So. Which is exactly
I think it's
what
Ken Hendricks' alter ego.
Ooh, that could be.
That could I thought for a while we thought it was John Coppola because he knew a little bit too much about some under the radar prospects that, like, nobody would know about.
That's
but
funny.
We verified that that's not John Coppola. However, we think he might actually know John Coppola. So it's weird.
Interesting.
Okay.
John Coppola is the fired ex-GM of the Atlanta Braves. Yeah. Banned from baseball, right, as it were.
Well, yeah. That was this year or something, wasn't it?
That was November.
Yeah. Well, okay, not 2018, obviously, but yes, very, very recent stuff. Sherwin, you've got the Strange with Stang for us.
Did we decide which one we were going to read?
I don't know. Read. There was one that, like, we had an answer to, and there was one that was really good, but we didn't really have a good answer to.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, they're both really good.
All right,
so I'm going to read the one that maybe we can, like, fishhook our way into a real story. One of them doesn't fit as well as the others.
So, Josh, every week we have Asher J. Stang. She sends us an off-the-wall question, as if we haven't been off the wall this entire time. This week, but right.
Oh, this is where it really goes off the rails.
Yeah, if the rails haven't been, I don't know, exited, get off of the next stop. Here we go.
All right, so here we go. All right, make sure I.
Yeah, he's got to pull it up on the text.
Well, this I've got it, but I got to make sure I censor it
because yeah,
there's
right.
nothing
that's
Ashley
right.
sends
I remember,
me that is not
yeah, yeah,
she, riddled with words that have U's in them.
Right, right. And I'm teasing.
Okay, so have you ever broken something at someone's house or clogged a toilet or F-bombed something up and not told them what happened?
Mm.
And did they find out later? And did you blame it on someone else?
Mm.
I feel like there's going to be people that listen to this show tonight that are going to be not friends with each other anymore.
as they're thinking about this stuff? Yeah, yeah. Sherwin, I gave the, like, me and Sherwin were thinking about this stuff, and I'm like, all right, whose house would I have been at, and I messed something up? I was like, I'd have been at Sherwin's house, and I'd have messed something up bad. But I would have probably told him and been like, dude, I messed this up. We have a situation now. We got to deal with it. And
yeah, I wonder.
We've probably been there before, but the only thing I can think of, so back in our fraternity days, if you remember.
Okay.
It wasn't me. It was some fraternity brother. They were building the house next door to us. And one of the fraternity brothers opened up a fire hydrant.
Oh, my God.
You remember this?
I remember this.
Opened up the fire hydrant and completely flooded the other house that was still being built.
Brand new.
Brand new house was still being built and completely flooded. Like, I'm talking about six feet of water, six inches deep. Yeah, 6 inches.
I said six feet.
I meant 6 inches in the basement. Like, this thing messed up everything. And it was another buddy of ours from the fraternity house who. So this, like, we showed up. We were at the bar or something. We came back later, and this thing was 6 inches deep of water. And our other fraternity brother had a torque wrench that could, you know, shut off a fire hydrant. So he shut it off, and we called the cops and everything, and the cops came by, and we were the heroes because here was this leaky fire hydrant that you know,
they don't not have a lot of pressure behind them,
right? And the guys next door turned it off and saved their house, right? What they didn't know is that the same guys were the ones that flooded in the first place. So
son.
That's one of my I guess that's the best one that I can come up with. All the rest of them I feel like I've fessed up to. Like, you go to somebody's house and you break something, and you're just like, you know what? That's how it is. I've probably clogged somebody's toilet, but, you know.
I'm confident every time that I've made a mistake in your house that I've just owned it.
Mm-hmm.
And this, sorry, man. I'm stupid.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Charlie Daniels and the Torque.
He was Charlie.
It was
Daniels
not a Sawyer Brown song, for
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that wasn't Sawyer. Who was that?
Yeah, the Charlie Daniels of the Torque Wrench. That's
no. Sammy Kershaw.
Make me the queen of my double wide trailer.
No.
Polyester curtains and redwood deck.
That's
it.
Sammy. Oh, sorry.
Sammy
not Sawyer Brown. Sammy Kershaw.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that's where I'm at. Yeah, yeah. Okay. I was
same
sorry.
Era.
I wasn't trying to call
you
out.
No, you're
like,
good.
Wait a
second. You're good.
All right, we're good. We're good. Here we go. All right, Josh. Where you at, Josh?
Do you have any closing statements?
No, no, no. I mean, I talked to
him
about...
Oh, he's going to tell us his thing.
Yeah, where'd you F up something?
Oh, I got drunk one night back in college in my buddy's trailer.
That's awesome.
My buddy Brian Simon. We used to go to his trailer and play bluegrass all weekend. And Brian went on a missions trip to Russia, and he comes back, and he's like, "Hey, guys, I figured out this way to drink all the vodka without getting a hangover. You can drink like all night and not get sick at all." And it's this thing, and he showed it to us. It's like you take a shot and you breathe in and breathe out, or something. You take another shot, and then you sniff a pickle, and then you breathe in and breathe out, and then you like eat the pickle. And then if you do it in these certain steps or something, like you can just drink vodka like all night and you're fine. And so, of course, we believe him. We're idiots. And so we drank vodka that night, and I got just obliterated. And at some point, I puked. I remember laying on like a blow up mattress, and I remember like just kind of like turning over, puking like projectile vomit, dude. And the vomit landed in his vinyls. Like he had some like old vinyls.
Oh, and man.
They were nice. They were like classic rock man. Stuff.
Like some Pink Floyd.
I puked on the White Album.
Oh, the Beatles. Shoot. About, you get me.
Rusty almost said
brothers. You get me excited about music, I might cuss.
Yeah.
Oh, crap.
Dude,
okay.
I just, like, I ruined his vinyl collection. And so, I mean, I didn't tell him immediately, but I had to tell him, like, the next day and everything. And he wasn't very happy.
I can't imagine.
We're still friends, though.
Well, that's good. All right. Friendship.
That's, so you said that now that you there was some Russian and vodka things that happened. So now I'm going to have to tell a story. So we're going to extend the show here. And Russia's going to yell at me, but that's fine.
Oh, whatever.
So around the time that you said that you may have done a sabbatical off and wherever the hell you did your sabbatical, I did my sabbatical in Western Michigan.
Yeah.
At a dude ranch called the Double J in Western Michigan, just north of Muskegon.
That's awesome.
And I met some Russians my first summer there. And they said, "We're going to have Russian party." And I had just come back from the bar, and I was holding a pitcher that I had like poured Natty Light in out of cans. Like I filled it, and I was just drinking out of the pitcher. I'd already had plenty of beer. I was well on my way to being satisfied as a drunk 23-year-old. And I was going to go to bed. And they're like, "No, you got to come upstairs to the Russian party." And this is the old school kind of house where, like, ranch house where the bottom, it was a two-family house. So, like, the bottom, like, the stairs were outside.
Oh, okay.
But this was the summer, though, so that didn't really matter that much. The stairs do come into play here in just a minute. So when I go upstairs, there's three Russian girls and there's one Russian dude. And they're like, "All right, so we're going to have this Russian party. We're going to have Russian party." And I'm like, "Whatever this means, I don't know. I'm still holding my pitcher of Natty Light." And they hand me a cup and they fill it with vodka. And I mean, when I say cup, I mean like, you know, one of those double layer plastic deals that like it's like a koozie built into the cup or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like, you know, it could hold a full beer.
Yeah,
sure.
They filled it up with vodka.
Right.
And I'm like, "All right, cool. We're just going to, like, we're going to puff past this thing, right?" And, like, I drink a sip, and I go to hand it to the next person. Like, "No, that's yours."
"Yeah, I already drank mine. Where are you at?"
And I'm like, "What?" I'm like, "I've been drinking beer for 6 hours. I can't drink a glass of vodka." And they're like, "Yeah, you can. You'll be fine." And so they were right about that I could. They were wrong that I would be fine. And I have never, that's the only time in my life I have ridden a staircase on my back head first.
Oh, fantastic.
Which was not a dare. It was, I fell and that's how it just happened.
Oh, fantastic. Well, with that bombshell, we have completely, we started off the rails. We continued. You know, I think we just sort of rode that rail the whole time. So
you know what? We never hit a hydrant. We're good.
That's right. Yeah. Never
opened
up. We
must be in BFE where Ken lives.
That's right. That's right. So, Josh, close us out. Tell us where the folks can find you, what's going on, and maybe you have something that's a little more on the rails in a normal podcast. But, you know, it is the off-season for both of us.
Well, thanks for having me. You guys do an awesome thing. It's, it, I'm I'm sure any other NASCAR podcast is awesome, man. So it's really cool what y'all are doing. We are Nakahoma Nation, so we're on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, CastBox. If you're a podcast nerd, download CastBox. It's like the best podcast app out there. Huh. Unless you guys aren't on it, in which case it's not the best podcast app out there.
Might be. I don't know. Ain't no telling. We just got on Podknife, whatever that is.
If it's non-subscriber, nice. We're probably there.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, you probably are. But at Nakahoma NTN is our Twitter. And website, nakahomanation.com and everything. So if you like Braves baseball, give us a follow.
Well, and even if you don't,
clearly do anyway.
Guaranteed to have some fun.
It is fun.
Yeah.
Either way, we're going to have fun. So with that, Sherwin, let's close this thing out, I guess. I'll bring the music up and I'll bring the, the tone down or whatever we want to call it.
However we're doing it.
Y'all know where to find us. It's PTMPodcast.com at PTMPodcast. Just search, do the thing. We just got on Podknife. I even tweeted out. I'm like, I don't know what this is, but yeah, sure, why not? Hey, we're...
thanks for the free promotion.
Yeah, what did they say? They said something like it's... you'll get NASCAR and beyond. I was like, well, come for the NASCAR and stay for the beyond, I guess.
That's right. So, beyond the Thunderdome.
Yeah, we were definitely beyond tonight. We want to thank Josh for joining us. Drinking, he's deep into his Rolling Rock there, and y'all know what to do. And all we'll definitely be here next week. As always, I'm Tailgate Mayor Rusty Wallace at Tailgate Mayor,
and I am Andrew Sherwin at Pregame Engineer at Andrew L Sherwin on the Instagram. As Rusty said, everything that we do is easy to find. If you Google PETM Racing Podcast, you will find your preferred method of consumption.
There it is. We'll talk to y'all next week.
I forgot for a minute I was drinking tequila.